Well, I don't know about you, but I didn't want to finish all of that worship. It was just awesome, wasn't it? What a platform to move on to. And even the beautiful time around communion, as we learn and as we realise the importance of our words and how we use them to God, because he wants only the purest and the best praise from us. And so when we say hallelujah, we are really lifting our hearts before our loving God. Father, we just praise you for this gathering this morning. We thank you, Lord, that you have called each one of us into your presence. We thank you, Lord, for bringing those who have been away back to us. And Father, we pray for others who are not with us this morning. We pray that you might bless them as you bless us. Lord, we open our hearts now to receive, not from the vessel, but from the giver. We ask, Lord, that you would speak by your Spirit, Lord God, and each heart would be open to receive from you, Lord God, what you would speak to each one of us individually, in Jesus' name. Amen. This last week, we've come again to that 11th hour of the 11th day of the 11th month. Remembrance Day, exactly. And I always take that time. I'm not saying there haven't been times where we can become really, really busy and that time slips us, but most times I remember and stop for that time and give thanks to God, not to man, but to God, that this country is a free country. And we need to understand that it is not just free because men gave their lives. It is free because Jesus gave his. And while we need to proportion things as they need to be proportioned, we never forget that the greatest gift of freedom and life comes from Jesus Christ. Amen. But we are thankful. And even now, we have young men over in other countries risking their life for that same freedom. And it's not only a freedom of a country, it is freedom for mankind. That Jesus Christ gave his life that all would be free. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. No matter what tribe, no matter what tongue, would receive him and know eternal and everlasting life and the freedom of the bondage of sin. In the last couple of weeks, my husband and I don't get to the movies very often, but after it was recommended to us, we went to see Mao's Last Dancer. If you haven't seen it, you need to. It's a very good film. It's a true story of a young man who was brought out of communist China and who found his way into America, and he now lives in Australia. But it's a story about freedom, and that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. And I praise God for the freedom that was on this platform that came into this auditorium this morning. And this young man was brought out of captivity, out of the difficulties of his life, and obviously in a movie it doesn't give the full detail. I'm now in the process of reading the book. Rachel gave me the book. And some of the struggles and things that people face in other countries that most of us don't know about. Some of you may have come from some of those countries and those struggles. But you see, when this young man was taken to America, he felt really confused because it was like he had freedom, but he still felt in bondage. Why? Because you see, the freedom is not in a place. The freedom is within us. We talk about battles and struggles, and I asked Benren especially to sing that chorus this morning, "This is my prayer in the desert. When all that is within me feels dry, this is my prayer in the hunger in me. My God is a God who provides." And it says, "All of my life in every season, you are still God. I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship, no matter what situation." Because you see, the Lord knows that the greatest battle that I have is in me. The greatest battle that you have is in you. It isn't a place, it isn't a person. The struggle is within me. My struggle is that I might yield to him and his purpose. Because if we do that, then we don't have a struggle. Doesn't matter what goes on around us, we still have the victory. We can still worship, we can still praise, and know that He has made a way out, that He has made a way out. Some people, you know, kids often say, oh, in fact, some of my grandchildren are saying, praise God, I finished the exams. I'm free. I'm free. Well, they may be free for a little while. They're free from exams, but they're not free from life. Hate to tell you, kids. It goes on, and there's more waiting for you next year. And sometimes the young ones will say, oh, I've left school. Hooray, I'm going to get a job. I'm free. Till I get a job. And they realise that it brings its struggles and its trials. Men work hard all their lives, and some women. Not that women don't work hard, we do, believe me. But think about retirement. And they walk out with a golden handshake and I've retired, I'm free. What are they free from? You see, freedom is within. And sometimes if we have that attitude that we're looking for something, we're looking, thinking that we have to strive to, we're just stepping out of one situation into another. Because life is life wherever we are. There are journeys to take. There are joys to be had. There are struggles and trials to face. But there is always freedom. But the freedom is not in a position. The freedom is in me. So if I didn't feel free when I was working, I'm certainly not going to feel free when I'm retired. Because when things come before us, then we feel in bondage again. Some people think if I could just eliminate that situation, I'd be free. But then there's another one to take its place. If I could move from that neighbour and eliminate that situation, I'd be free. But then they move into another suburb and find the same problems. Because often the things we struggle with are within ourselves. If you'd like to open your Bible this morning, and I'm speaking from Galatians. Galatians is a tremendous book, and Paul takes us through a tremendous journey right through the book of Galatians, and we can't follow it all this morning. But I want to start this morning, and there's quite a bit I'm going to read, but it's important for you to get the background. And we're going to start in Galatians chapter 4, verse 21. Tell me, you who want to understand the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written, Abraham had two sons, one from a slave woman and the other by a free woman. His son by the law, by the slave woman, was born in the authority, in the ordinary way. But the son by the free woman was born as a result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the woman represents two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she is in slavery with her little with her child. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, be glad, O barren woman who bears no children, break forth, every child cry aloud, you who have no labour pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman, but of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born of the ordinary way persecuted the son born of the power of the Spirit. And it is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brother, we are not children of the slave woman, but are of the free woman. And then in which I really want to centre on, in chapter 5, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to justify by law have been alienated from Christ. But he says, we need to run the good race and we need to stand in Christ. So again I say, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves burden again by the yoke of slavery. So Jesus Christ has set us free. And so we see there that story of the two women, Sarai and Hagar. And we know that we are born of Isaac. We are children of promise, because the promise was that Jesus Christ would come down through the lineage and he would be the one who would give his life to set us free from the bondage of sin and death. We have been set free. But what does freedom mean? What does freedom mean to you? We were singing this morning and Brendan was saying, you know, about being free, lifting our hands, honouring God. And it says, the song of freedom is on my lips today. I sing about the one I love today. The song of freedom is on my lips. But you see, we sing the song of freedom is on our lips, but the expression needs to be in our heart. The expression of freedom must be on our heart. We can come and we can raise our hands and we can sing, but are we really free inside? Do we really know that freedom that breaks the yoke? Do we understand? If we really want to be free, we need to call on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to go to the cross of Calvary. We need to know the power of the Holy Spirit that lifts this freedom within us, lifts it within us, so that we will not be in that bondage. It is our faith that saves us and sustains us. And if we are to live in victory, we need to live in faith. A faith that says, my God is able. I will look unto you, Lord God, and know. For I am persuaded that he is able to keep me unto that day. I know who holds the future and I know who holds my hand. No matter what the situation, no matter what the trial, no matter what the temptation is. You see, we have been saved by a glorious Jesus Christ. But we have been saved from sin to live in victory. And you see, when this young man came, Mayo, the dancer came to, or Mao came to this country, he felt free at first and then he was in bondage because he'd only changed position and he didn't know how to cope with the things in this new world. He had to learn to let go and change. Now we have been brought out of a place, a terrible, terrible dark place of sin. And as Noel brought that word this morning, we carry within us this sin. We carry within us this darkness, this ugliness. And then we see this Saviour. He comes and he meets us and we fall at his feet and we accept salvation. And you see, the Lord Jesus shows us that he has died to free us from this bondage, from this darkness, from this filthy cloak. But you see, many of us still carry much of those things. We have come out of that, but we have to learn how to live in the freedom. We are peculiar people. We are now changed, and the Lord is wanting to change us daily, that we might be changed from glory to glory, that we might grow higher and higher in him. It is by grace you have been saved, not that we have been saved. And this freedom doesn't mean that we're free to just do as we like, because if we think we're just free to do as we like, our flesh will take over and we can do things that are awesome. Freedom is not just doing what I want. Freedom is being led by His Spirit. But you see, we talk about worship, and Pastor Chris has spoken about this, and we've talked about it many times. I've spoken about it. Worship is an attitude of our heart. It's not coming together on a Sunday morning and lifting our hands and singing, praising. That is part of it. But that is an expression of who we are. The Spirit of God wants to change us from the inside out. That is what freedom is. He wants us to start thinking with the mind of Christ. He wants us to start choosing His way, not mine. Now, we know that it takes time to change, that we are changed spiritually instantly. We are justified instantly by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of God enters in. But then we need to learn to give this wonderful Spirit the freedom in our life that He deserves to change us. We will not change unless we submit to Him. And so it's a process. It's like a little child when we have to teach it to walk and to talk and to eat. It's a process. Everything within the child's brain is there ready to enable it to be able to speak and to walk. But it has to learn slowly. We have to teach it slowly. And so the Spirit of God teaches us slowly. But it can be quicker. It depends on how hungry we are. When you come to the table, if you have a real appetite, you will eat all that's in front of you. But if you don't feel really hungry, you'll just pick away. But then some people eat and then they don't feel very well. The Lord wants us to be hungry. He wants us to hunger and thirst after Him. He wants us to feed upon His word, not here, in here. He wants us to meditate on that word until it becomes a part of us. That's what freedom is. Because as we do that and we face these difficulties, if we face struggles, you know, I hear people say, oh, I've paid my house off, I'm free. Well, they're free from that, but they're not fully free. There are other things. And sadly, if we don't understand what freedom is, if we don't understand how the Spirit works, well, people will often waste that money. Instead of putting that money and saying, well, okay, I've paid my house off, I've got all this money now, but if there's no discipline, if there's no understanding of worship, we won't know what to do with the money. And we all know money can fritter away very quickly. I remember once thinking, if I got $50, I was really wealthy. And now you get $50, and once you cash it, even if it's only $10 out of it, it's gone. It's not $50 anymore. And those two 20s go very quickly. And now I would think $100 was a lot of money, but it's the same. And as we get older and as we walk and learn and we struggle and go through things, we realise how quickly money goes and how really small money is. The money isn't the size of the thing. It's my attitude and how I handle the money that is the larger thing. And so we are never free. We are never free unless we're free in Christ. And I would say to you this morning, and I praise God for that word that God spoke through Noel, that being in Christ, Christ has given us everything and He shows us that we are free. But we have to grow into that and know that in our hearts. There are many of us that are in bondage to many things. And sadly, we've been given freedom and yet we go back into slavery. For some, it may be work. They're in bondage to work. Some are in bondage to their garden. Some are in bondage to religious activities. Some are very legalistic. Some are in bondage to sport. There are all sorts of things. And God has given us all things to enjoy. He's given us authority over all things. But bondage means we allow ourselves to be under the authority of those things. We can be under the authority of a person. We can allow ourselves to feel intimidated. Now, all of those things need to be reckoned with and dealt with in themselves. But what I'm trying to bring out to you is that our growing is a process of overcoming in His Spirit and having the victory over those things. We can sing we have the victory, but do we really know what the victory looks like? Do we really know when we leave this place and we face something? If you want to see where a man and woman is, see them under pressure. When the pressure comes, that's where we see how much freedom there is. Now, we can all slip and we can all have struggles. But you see, when we see these things, we need to come before the Lord and not just say, well, okay, Lord, I got through that thing. No, we need to go away in the quiet place and yield to him and say, God, what is it in me that caused me to react like that? What is it in me that caused me to be afraid of that situation? What is it in me that caused me to be so caught up in this triangle of pain or suffering, whatever it is? You know, we can go to the doctor and the doctor says a word and straight away we're in turmoil. Now, we know that the doctor gives the facts, but then I get the facts, but then I go to my Jesus because he has the answer. He has the answer. Man does not have the answer, does he, Joe? No, he doesn't. Only Jesus has the answer. Jesus is the healer. Jesus is the restorer. Jesus is the beautiful, saving, healing balm that comes upon us. So we need the facts. We need to be informed about situations, but then take it to the Lord. That is where freedom is. Hallelujah. That is where freedom is. It is in Jesus Christ. We need to understand that he has come to set us free from the bondage of sin and death. Now, we know that we are all going to pass from this life, but that is not death. We know that we will see him face to face. That is victory. That is freedom. And we need to stand in that. And as I've said before, we live eternity now. Eternity is not something that's coming for us. We live eternity now. So we need to express that freedom as we approach our Father through Jesus Christ. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. Our God is an awesome God. Is he awesome in your life today? Which situation do you see yourself in? Do you see yourself still in the old, under the bondage? Or do you see yourself in the new, in the freedom? From the beginning of time, God was crying out to man to see him, to trust him, to walk with him. And we see that Moses was taken and led to take the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he brought them freedom. And at first they rejoiced and they were so happy because they were caught up in a feeling, and it was that, oh, I'm out of that place. But then when they had to start life as it is, they started to grumble. And they said, why didn't you leave us where we were? They didn't really have freedom. And it proved that because then they walked in the wilderness for 40 years. And God met them every day. He fed them every day with new manna. He comes to you each day by his Spirit with new words of love, with new strength, with new healing, with new hope. And we eat it, we take it, and then we go back to worrying again. The children even grumbled about the manna. It wasn't to their liking. It was food. It was nourishment. The greater food is not what we eat in our mouths. The greater food is what Jesus Christ speaks into our spirit. That is the sustainer of life. And so then we see that they finally entered Canaan and they said, oh, yippee, we're free, we're free. But when they went into Canaan, they had to learn how to live in that freedom. They had to possess it. That's what I'm trying to tell us this morning. We have freedom, but are we possessing that freedom? Are we living in that freedom? The song of freedom is on my lips. Is it in my heart? Is it in the expression of my life? Do you walk down the street a free person? We know we're free in this country. We know the freedom of our citizenship. But there's a greater freedom, a freedom of our spirit. Do you walk in authority? Are you able to stand? You see, if we knew this freedom fully, not just individually but as a body, if we lived this freedom fully, this place would not contain the people. There is a world out there that doesn't even fully understand their freedom in this world, let alone in God's kingdom. And we need to be giving them that freedom. We need to be showing them that freedom, not only by what we say, but we need to be showing it by how we live. And the greatest example of that freedom is, what did the Lord say? If you love one another as I have loved you, this will show the world that you're my disciples, if you love one another. What is this love? Not an expression of affection. It's an unconditional agape love, a love that says, I will love you no matter what. Even if you tread on my toes, even if you disappoint me, even if you fail me, I will love you. It is a love that we need in marriage. It is a love that is essential in marriage, because we will all tread on one another's feet in marriage. We will all disappoint one another. We will all say too much, or we won't say enough. We will all seemingly fail one another. But you see, the Word of God says love covers a multitude of sin. That love, not the affectionate love, the love of Jesus. It doesn't mean that there aren't things we have to address in marriage. There are. We have to sit and talk. We have to work things through. We have to work it through, not till one or the other is broken, but till the thing is broken. We need to work it and talk it through till there is peace, till there is freedom. Parents and children must have that love. We think we have it when a child is born, because it's easy to love a newborn baby. It's easy to love a child when it's cute and 10 months old and a year old and ones and twos, and then it gets to those threes when it starts stamping its foot, as I've said many times, and starting to want its own way. And you see, if we keep loving with this flesh, we will become frustrated and we will start to become at enmity with our own child. The child doesn't understand. It's a child. You see, it's got to be, it's what's in me. And whatever that child, I say, draws, it's in me, not in the child. The child is just being a child. Children do those things. They have snooty noses and they poo their pants and they stamp their feet and they show tantrums. That's part of development. And you see, it doesn't look too bad on a 3-year-old, but it doesn't look too good on a 20 and a 30 and a 40 and a 50-year-old. And so the Spirit of God wants to change those things. We have a choice. We have a choice to be in bondage, or we have a choice to be free. Free, the Lord says. He has given us his freedom. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Paul is telling us that we need to understand the truth. The truth, it is not for freedom. Is it not for freedom that Christ has set us free? The truth is that we need to stand firm in that freedom and not allow yourselves. You see, Paul understands it isn't the bondage that draws us back. It's at me that lets myself. It's either through weakness, or I can't be bothered, or it's too hard. Sometimes God gives us awesome things and we don't live in them, or we don't have them, because we don't want the responsibility. There is responsibility with every situation in life. And sometimes we don't have the things God wants to give us because we are afraid to take the responsibility. We say, I can't. Well, if God gives it to you, you can. Because he knows you can. He has made you to be able to. And so we struggle in those areas. We need to be persistent in our faith. We need to be persistent in our walk with God. We need to return to our first love. When we know that we have a struggle, as I said, when I have difficulties and trials and things that come upon me, whether it's my health, but particularly if it's something within me that I feel that is out of order, or I'm pulled up or something shown, I go away and I get in my closet with the Lord and I work it through. I work it through in him, that he will show me where it is in me, what I need to change. Sometimes there are things that we can't change, but we need to yield to the Lord so that whatever it is does not hinder our growth or does not make us hard. You see, David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me, O Lord. David knew that things around him, people around him, could cause him to despair. And when we start getting caught up in situations and we don't work it through with Jesus, hardness comes in. And that's bondage. That's returning to the old. Hardness is not a part of God's will. God wants us to be broken open, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. He wants us to be yoked with him. He wants us to walk with him, not to be yoked with anger or bitterness or disagreement. He wants us to be yoked with him. He wants us to walk in his humility and his love. And we can only do that as we spend time with him, as we return to our first love. Then we will walk in victory. We will know that freedom that is on our lips will be in our heart. We need to take a step back. We need to return to our first love. We have to remember that Christianity is about loving Jesus, not about things. Not to be caught up in the things of this world. Not to have our ears tickled by the things around us. You know, the things of God are simple. We complicate them. Because the problem is we've lived so long in our own flesh, in our own thoughts, in our own feelings. Many of us have come from various religions, and we need to break those things away. We need to think through the mind of Christ, not through religiosity, not through things that man will try to put upon us. You know, when someone speaks to you as you grow in the Lord, you come to hear if that is man or if that is God. If it doesn't line up with the word of God, then it isn't God. It's man's idea, and that is bondage. We are not to live under the bondage. We're not to return again to that. Paul says this Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. He set you free to rise and to praise him, to worship at his feet, to open your heart to know him, to know that he has overcome every struggle, every trial, every pain, every difficulty, every financial difficulty. It doesn't mean we don't have to look at these things in the natural and work them through, but it's so much easier when we do it in Jesus. It's so much easier when we ask him to come alongside and we become a partaker with him, because he opens our eyes and he gives us wisdom. In our own strength, we run around ad hoc and we can't think clearly. But Jesus centres us. The Spirit of God centres us and brings us that quietness and that ability to be able to think clearly and to be able to see things more really. But first we need to go to him. But we're so busy, aren't we, running and trying to fix it ourselves. We try to fix it ourselves, and that's where we get into trouble. There's a story of a husband and wife driving down the street, and the wife said, "Our marriage isn't what it used to be. We used to hug and kiss and cuddle all the time. It's not like that anymore." In fact, she said, "When we used to go on dates, I never sat over here right alongside the passenger door. I always sat in the middle seat next to you, and you would reach over and grab my hand. But it's not like that anymore." And the husband simply looked at her and he said, "Who moved? Who moved?" And you see, it's the same. I saw a text written up. "I don't hear God anymore. I don't see him. I don't feel him." And the Lord said, "Well, who moved?" God doesn't move. We move. If you feel like you're stuck over on the passenger seat in your marriage, move. If you feel that you aren't connecting with your children, move. But where do you move? To the heart of Christ. Don't move your physical position. Move your spiritual position. Seek the Lord. It is only the Lord that can give you the ability to go and say, "Forgive me. to move in and to become vulnerable in a situation. There are other things too. It may be your health. It may be your health. And you see, you think, Lord, why aren't you doing this for me? The Lord says, come closer to me. Come closer to me and feel me and know my healing power. You won't find it out there. You only have to find it when you're at one with me. And regardless of what it is, the Lord will walk us through it. You see, I've said many times before, and the risk of saying it again, and you say, oh, she said that before, but I'll keep saying it. It is the Lord that holds your life and mine in his hands, not man. It is not the calendar that directs your life. It is Jesus Christ. The Lord God formed you in your mother's womb. He knew the appointed time that you would be born, and he knows the time he will call you home. Rest in that. Don't get anxious. Of course, we have to take into account, as I said, if the doctor says something, that's a fact of medical knowledge. It isn't a fact in spiritual terms. Then go to the Lord. And you see, with God, it's not so much how much time, it's how we live that time. It's how we live that time. And to be able to get to the end of that time and say, Lord, I'm not perfect. I've made many mistakes, but I have done the best that I could. And you see, God has given us so much today through his word, through the understanding of his word, by the power of his spirit, people. I pray that every one of you know what it means to be filled with the spirit. Know what it means to speak in tongues. If you don't, you need to come and ask someone. We need to be speaking in tongues and allowing the Spirit to stir up this life within us, to enable us, because we do not fight physical battles. We fight spiritual battles. They are the big things. The enemy is walking around looking for whom he may devour. And when he sees a weakness in you, when he sees a fear in you, chung, he'll move in. He can't put that fear there. He can't get into your spirit. But he can speak into your mind. He can continue to encourage you to feel despondent, to feel inferior. What's inferiority? It's self-centeredness. It's sin. And he will encourage you to feel less than you are. He will encourage you to get frustrated so that you will bicker with someone that you love. And then you're feeling guilty. And then you start to think, well, God, where are you? You see, the enemy comes in to twist our thoughts. God didn't say that. He won't do that for you. He will. Because he said he will. Not only he will, he has. You see, everything that God has promised us, he has done. We just have to live it. It's not that God is going to heal me. God has healed me. I just need to live in that healing. I read somewhere the other day that Johnny Erickson Tada has just not long realised a dream of hers, and that was to meet Corrie ten Boom. Now, Corrie ten Boom has had a very, very bad stroke, and so she's not able to move very much. And here they were, wheeled in their two wheelchairs together. And Johnny Erickson looked at her and was just absolutely thrilled that she was there in front of this lady. And Corrie ten Boom could not speak to her, but their eyes met and their spirits connected, and something awesome took place. And Johnny Erickson realised that while her body couldn't move, she can speak though, words were not necessary. There are more things than words. And so together they sat there and looked at each other and communicated this awesome presence of God, this beautiful spiritual oneness of two women. And all of the things that Johnny Erickson had thought in the past that she would bring were just oblivious. They were not necessary. And you see, we think, oh, if I saw Jesus, I'd ask him this and this. No, you wouldn't. You'd just fall at his feet. You would be prostrate before him just to be in his shadow, just to be in his presence. And do you know that you can be? Now, right where you are, in his very presence, where we don't. And you see, when we know when we're really in the presence of the Lord, because words are not important. When we keep talking, we're still hoping we're in his presence, but we're not really there. When we are in his presence, our hearts just want to lift in worship and adoration. What is there that we can say? And that's where our spiritual tongue comes in, because our words are so insignificant. I remember when my children were born, and we know that we look at them and we think they're just awesome little creatures, creations, and we just love them. But how do you express that love? Or if you look at your husband and you want to express the words to say, I love you, it doesn't really express what's inside, does it? If someone does something for you, how do you say thank you? How do you really express it? So how do you really express it to Jesus? Because God is spirit and we worship him in spirit and in truth. We worship him in the truth that Jesus has set us free, and in the faith that he is there to hear all that we have to say to him. So the Lord Jesus Christ is calling us to live in freedom, to know freedom. A song of freedom is on my lips today, today. Jeremy, or who's there, could you put up that the bridge of that last chorus we sang? No, the other one. No. Sorry. He's healed me. He set me free. The bridge of he set me free. Because Jesus Christ has set us free in every area. He's not going to set us free. He has set us free already. Do you feel that freedom today? Do you feel the freedom in every area of your life? Are you looking to him or are you looking to man? Are you in freedom or are you in bondage? Are you bowed down with cares and fears? Or are you ready to stand up and face and meet whatever comes head on? You see, we need to be clothed in his righteousness. We need to be clothed in his power. We need to be filled with his word. We need to know his spirit will make that word alive. So there's freedom in the name of Jesus, freedom from all shame. Do you feel shame this morning? We are not to feel shame, only shame of our sin before the Lord. And then if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, so the shame is taken away. But often, you see, we confess, but then we walk away and carry the shame. So we have done an injustice to our Lord because we have not received his life gift to you. His life gift. He gave his life that you might be free of shame. Freedom from all pain. Not only physical, but emotional. The greatest pains we bear are emotional. Emotional, and often they're things that aren't real. The emotional pain is often things as we perceive them to be, rather than what they are. They're very much like mirages. They're things we see there. There are things that we think are there, but if we would confront them, they dissipate. They're not there at all. But we get so caught up in it. And then we think, why did I worry about that so much? Why did I feel that anxiety? We perceive a lot of things that aren't real. But there is also physical pain. There is also physical pain. But Jesus said he has come to free us. If you get lost in Jesus, if you stand in his presence, if you know his spirit, you can overcome pain. You can overcome pain. We know there are a lot of things about today that we can take. But you see, they are short-lived. If we really want to overcome, we must get into his presence. And then we know that overcoming power from our pain. And there's freedom, of course, we know from sin. Now, we know that we are not sinners. we are sinners saved by grace, so that we are not sinners. We can sin though. We are capable of sinning, sadly. But as we walk in this freedom, as we walk in the Spirit of God, we will sin less. As we learn what it means to live a life of worship, the Spirit of God will stir our heart that we will choose not to sin. We will choose not to sin. This is my prayer in the desert, when all that is within me feels dry. This is my prayer in the hunger in me. My God is a God who provides. And this is my prayer in the fire. Are you going through a fire? Are you going through a terrible situation? In weakness or trial and pain, there is a faith proved of far more worth than gold. So refine me, Lord, through the flame. You see, often God allows us to walk through these things that he may refine us. That through our pain, through our struggle, he will break away the things that need to be broken in our lives. And the Word of God says, when he has tried you, he will bring you forth as pure gold. This is my prayer in the battle, and triumph is still on its way. Often when we're in a battle, we don't see the end. We only see the pain. But triumph is on its way. I'm a conqueror and a co-heir with Christ, so firm on his promise I'll stay. All of my life, in every season, you are still God, and I have a reason to sing. I have a reason to worship. So no matter what your trial is today, no matter what your pain is today, no matter what your struggle is, God is still God. And because he is God and Jesus Christ is Lord of all and the Spirit of God reigns victorious, we have a reason to sing. We have a reason to worship him. Today is the day that the Lord has given you, that you might rejoice, that you might overcome in all things through him. No matter what. That's not my words, that's his word. If you don't believe it, open the word and read it. You have triumphed over all things in him. He has the victory. This is my prayer in the harvest. When favour and providence flow, I know I'm filled to be emptied again. So we're filled and we need to keep being filled because we will be emptied. But as we keep being filled, the seed we receive we will sow. If there is nothing in there, we have nothing to give. We have nothing to give to God. We have nothing to give to our husbands, to our children. We have nothing worse still to give to those out there that are dying in disbelief. We need to have it sown that we might sow. We need to have the Spirit of God so that we have food to give the hungry. Is your storehouse full today? Is your storehouse full? Do you know what it means, this freedom in Christ, that you might be free? And when we're free, we can be generous. We have much to give because there's a non-ending supply, a never-ending supply that comes from him. Father, I praise you and thank you for your word. I pray, Father, that it is not your vessel, Lord, but your word by your Spirit. Father, each one of us have different needs. Each one of us have different struggles. Each one of us have different desires. Each one of us have different dreams. And I just pray, Lord, that today a little of you would come forth to each one, that each one would take something different, but something pure, something perfect, something breaking, Lord, to break away whatever it is that needs to be broken. Lord, we do not want to live in bondage and fear. We do not want to return to legalism. We do not want to return to the old. We want to forge on and move on, Lord God, in our homes, in our lives, Lord, in our worship to you. We want to give you the best fruits, Lord. We want to give you the best. So, Lord God, open our hearts that we might receive by your Spirit your word today. And that we might be free and know the victory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.